This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
On Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
I don't think we're asking the right question. I think the question we should be asking is, do you believe in this thing or not?
The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
What do you mean? Of course martial arts training is relevant.
Now your hosts.
Let me save you some time. Get comfortable.
WSBT Radio's Sean Steyer.
Let's get started.
And former Irish quarterback, Evan Sharpley.
Hey, stay sharp.
And we are coming to you live from Sharpley Training in Elkhart today. This is, what, the second time we've been out on the road?
Concord High School.
I was going to say, both times we've come to Elkhart. Concord High School back during the football season, and today we're at Sharpley Training.
We're kicking off spring break.
We are.
Yeah.
I walked in, and you had a youngster in here. Was he from Northridge High School?
Northridge,
yeah. With, doing a little baseball workout with you this morning. Your wife, Jackie, she's going to join us a little bit later. And daughter, Lucy, she might just kind of give us the stare.
She's running the show, yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's
stone cold stare today.
That's right. That's the way it goes. Sharpley Training, of course, 831 Windsor Avenue in Elkhart. With us, you can be a champion. Call 574-226-8234. Visit sharpleytraining.com. And like I said, we'll talk to your wife, Jackie, about all the different. She gave me the quick tour here. Two different sides to this thing. I've seen pictures on social media and your website and stuff like that. But I think it never does it justice until you get in here and really kind of see the layout and how things work a little bit.
Yeah, year one, we were in the space we call the lab where we have the turf. We actually got the turf from the South Bend Cubs. When they got rid of theirs and put in real grass again.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first year, we did everything out of just this space and quickly found out that it was going to be a tight space, especially with the when we have the cage down. We were very blessed in year two to expand next door. Had thought about kind of knocking out a big wall, so it was one big space, but decided against that. So what's nice is, you know, when we have athletes in here, whether it's baseball, football training, especially in a private setting, they're not running into the noise level that we'll get next door with kind of our smaller box gym type of setup.
Right. Good stuff. So again, we're at Sharpley Training. You can visit the website sharpleytraining.com and check things out. We'll be talking, as we always do, more about Sharpley Training. And we should say we'll be off next week because you are packing up and heading for that trip to Italy next week.
Yeah, we'll be in Italy. We leave tomorrow, and we'll be in Italy until the following Sunday on a trip with Patrick Steenberg, who is a former Notre Dame quarterback who started global football. Works with a lot of D2, D3, and NAIA schools, taking them all across the world to play football. And this is the 11th year now that he's been doing this with high school teams, taking team stars and stripes from multiple locations across the U.S. We have some kids from Ohio, Pennsylvania, Maryland, here in Indiana as well. In the past, we've had some kids from Michigan, Texas, California, and we're heading over to Italy. We're going to be getting into Rome. We'll be in Sorrento, actually the Amalfi Coast area, for 4 days touring. We'll visit Pompeii, the ruins there, and then we'll finish our trip with 4 days in Rome, seeing the Colosseum, the Roman ruins. We'll go to Vatican City, Sistine Chapel, all of that. And then we finish with a game against Italian national team over there. So it's a good mixture of culture and athletics.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like a great trip. And we'll be looking forward in a couple of weeks to kind of hearing the highlights and how things went on that trip to Italy. Of course, the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley is also brought to you by Zolman Tire and Auto Care, trusted community service for over 40 years. By Lechleitner Door, when your garage door quits working, Lechleitner can fix it fast. Call 295-6311. By the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, together we can solve hunger. Learn more at feedindiana.org. By Carmela's at McCree's, order your Easter cakes, Italian Easter bread and pastries today. By Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, contact Craig Langhofer in New Carlisle or Dave Luttrell in Bremen. And by Cured Outdoor Living, make plans now to transform your backyard into an oasis with the expert at Cured Outdoor Living. All right. So now we've got down to business, Sharpley Training, and all of our sponsors. And, of course, we're always very happy to have all of them along with us on the Leprechaun Lunch here with Sean and Sharpley on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Spring football continues. Get down to a little nuts and bolts here, and the Irish are about halfway through the spring calendar, which, of course, ends with the Blue-Gold game on April 21st. It's been a fairly uneventful spring.
That's usually a good thing, right?
Yeah, you would hope so anyway, yeah. Right? I mean, the biggest things that we've – there's some notable things that have happened, but for the most part, like I said –
it's kind of business as usual.
Yeah, you've got the two quarterbacks, Brandon Wimbush. You've got a little bit of intrigue with the running back situation, the wide receiver – safety,
offensive line, just, what's going to happen
line.
There. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
All these things we kind of knew going in. Right now there aren't really any new surprises, I think, which is a good thing.
Definitely. And that's we also haven't seen regression from
right.
Brandon Wimbush,
yeah.
Which is good as well. And we've seen Ian Book kind of step up his game. And I think, as we mentioned last week, there's the gap is a lot shorter mm-hmm. between those two right now. So both of them getting reps. I mean, one thing that came up in the past few days, Wimbush mentioned recently, he spoke with the media over the weekend, and he mentioned that he worked with former Arizona State quarterback Taylor Kelly this offseason. And, you know, there's a couple of different things with that. One, Kelly played at Arizona State mm-hmm. when Chip Long, the offensive
right.
coordinator, was there. So there's at least a little bit of connection with the system there. Kelly also... Taylor Kelly works for a guy by the name of Tom House. Now, Tom House is a renowned pitching coach. He pitched
right.
in the major leagues with Nolan Ryan back in the 70s and forever in California, worked there. Well, he's also, over the last several years, started working with quarterbacks mm-hmm. because you kind of say, well, pitching coach, quarterback, yeah, you've got throwing, but it's the same but different,
for sure.
I guess you'd
sure.
say, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the baseball world, and now trying to translate some of that to the quarterback side. And, you know, his client list is impressive.
Yeah.
The big thing that he does through 3D QB is motion analysis. And, you know, when you see a lot of those things that they do, it looks very much like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of the video games are made. You've got the shirt with the little then dots all over you that show
right.
how you're moving in, you know, in a 3D world so that you can best maximize any inefficiencies in your throwing motion. And it's used across the board. It isn't just used for throwers. It's used in a lot of different realms. But again, it comes down to maximizing the sequence of how your body moves and then being able to identify, you know, possible areas that could lead to, say, for example, what we're talking about right now, a poor throw.
Exactly. And that's why Wimbush is working with these guys. And it's called, his football house's football institute is called 3DQB. And you can go to their website if you'd like, 3DQB.com. But he's collected data for almost 30 years now in the manner that you just talked about. Throwing motion of elite quarterbacks. He's worked with quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, Matt Ryan. Any others you can think of off the top of your head?
Those are the big ones. And, you know, what I'm not 100% sure with, you know, is this, you know, is this work maybe one time kind of similar to what Brandon did this last week? Or is it something that's ongoing where there's, you know, monthly checkups or... you know, maybe bi-yearly checkups. I don't know what that setup is. I don't know if that client list is something that's reoccurring on a normal regular basis,
yeah.
Or it was, you know, we come in, we're going to break you down, we're going to give you a pamphlet on what you do, and then, you know, it's on you as now a professional or, in Brandon's case, a college athlete to go and do what you will with it.
And that's, again, when you talk about, well, this is a pitching guy, Tom House. Remember the movie Million Dollar Arm?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? J.B.
Yeah.
Bernstein,
yeah.
The agent, went over to India and
right.
he found these guys. One of them ended up pitching in the major leagues. Tom House was the guy that mm-hmm. those two pitchers worked with. He
right.
took these basically mounds of clay.
Yeah.
His work with quarterbacks. He says, quote, I'm a rotational athlete evaluator. Pitching, quarterbacking, tennis, golf, hitting, all rotational athletes have the same timing, the same kinetic sequencing, hips, shoulders, arm, and implement. And depending on the verbiage, the same mechanics as each other. It's all the same in order of importance. Timing, sequencing and mechanics, end quote. And again, that's from Tom House. So
it's
again,
good stuff right there.
When you think back to, because I think a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes when they hear, oh, here's Brandon Wimbush is working with this outside guy again, because of he was working with George Whitfield before, who a lot of guys have. But this is a completely different thing that we're talking about, what Tom House is doing.
He doesn't handle mechanics.
Right.
It's drill work. It's, I need more reps. He's going to swing the brooms at you and throw things at you, and you'll be out on the beach. It's a lot of footwork. It's a lot of drills. It's not really slowing down the process if the sequencing is wrong. And to unpack the quote from Tom House, he's spot on with the movement, the rotational movement of quarterbacks and pitchers, that there is a sequence, and it's something that we talk with our athletes all the time about, whether it's whether it's hitting a baseball, whether it's throwing a football. There is a natural sequence that starts from the ground and then culminates with the releasing of that ball or unloading force of the baseball bat into a ball, and it all starts with the lower half. What you're doing with your feet, then what your hips are doing will lead to what your shoulders and then arm does.
Exactly.
We have a lot of younger athletes that don't understand really how their body works. So they throw the throw with their hand or with their arm, or they try to swing a bat with their hands or with their arms, instead of what we've really been shifting to as a cue is swing this bat with your hips. It's a weird thought, but if you start it there, it's going to work the sequence up, and then your hands and the bat that you're holding, which is a lever, if you look at that, or if you're holding a football, you know, it's almost like your arm is a catapult. Well, how are you going to work up to that catapult happening? So we really talk about, how can you get your hips involved, priming your hips, loading your hips, coiling your hips, are all different terms based on, you know, how Tom House is describing this. That's my assumption on how that conversation with Taylor Kelly and Brandon Wimbush went, that it's how can you get more out of your entire body and relying less on, 9 times out of 10, if there's an accuracy issue, it's not what you're doing. Well, it is what you're doing at the finish, but it's probably not
because
it's probably not because of what you're doing with your arm or your hand.
That's because when you were talking about that with the swing, for example, like when you see a young kid, especially who maybe is getting along with this swing, it's not all about what his hands are doing.
Sure.
It starts before that. Are your hips going to begin with so that you're farther out,
no doubt,
so that your bat and your hands are forward quicker?
And you watch any high level quarterback, it's all in the hips.
Yep.
You know, it's how can you get in a position or constantly be in a position with loaded hips to then quickly unload them, so you're not really thinking about what your upper body's doing. It's more of a lower half swivel of the hips. And you see guys right now that are really good at that. You know, Aaron Rodgers is one guy that comes to mind who does a really impeccable job of loading the back hip and then really being able to fire it. And, you know, another aspect that right now that's kind of a hot topic within the world of, you know, private QB coaching is over-rotation and getting into the front side too soon instead of really staying connected in the ground, where – It's more of a hip move than a forced hip action, I guess, if that makes sense,
yeah.
Where you throw and then you bring your hips late because you're told to.
Right.
Instead of using your hips to make the throw.
It's just kind of the after effect.
Correct.
If you're doing it that
yes.
way.
It is a byproduct,
right,
is what it is.
Right.
It doesn't always happen. I mean, there'll be times where you may have a guy in your face and you're not able to get the back hip through, but you can still swivel the back hip and really fire it to make sure that then the arm action and release point are consistent up top.
Evan Sharpley, Sean Stiers, we're at Sharpley Training in Elkhart today, and again talking about the stuff this week that went Brandon Wimbush, the Fighting Irish quarterback, working with Taylor Kelly, who works for Tom House's 3D QB group, and just a lot of interesting stuff along with that. So Brian Kelly was asked about it yesterday after practice, and that's kind of where the revelation of, because I, when Wimbush said Taylor Kelly over the weekend, I'm thinking, oh, and I didn't really think much about
just
it.
Just went and saw, yeah, but then, former quarterback.
But then Brian Kelly yesterday mentions the connection to Tom House, who's been,
and yeah,
he
let's
actually
be clear.
Worked, he actually worked with DeShone Kizer a little bit last year.
Yeah,
I
and
believe.
Let's be clear, he's not working with Tom House specifically.
Right, but it's part of his
program,
group and his philosophy.
Yes. And so, and kind of the reason why I brought up, you know, the client list that's used on the website, you know, if it's reoccurring, is now what's the next step? You went and did something, you know, and had probably had film broken down on your throwing motion over the spring break, and you were there for a week. But what is then, what is the protocol and the process now moving forward?
Right.
Because that's great. Good job. You did that for a week, but there's got to be steps in place now where there's check, you know, there's checkpoints, there's benchmarks, there are certain structures put in place to make sure you don't then revert back to what had happened. And I don't know if those are in place. You know, there maybe there's carryover, but there's a difference between verbiage and then actual, you know, the film doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Are there checkpoints visually that you're going to continually be going over with each individual quarterback? Is there a process set up? And we've talked about this in the past too. It's not existent at the high school level. Very few college programs that I know of have one. Pro teams that have them, it's requested by the quarterback, are throwing programs and protocols. A warm-up. Nobody has those. Whether it's band work for elbow and shoulder, whether it's plyo care, whether it's weighted football, non-existent. Nobody does it at the high school level. Very few teams do it at the pro or at the college level. The guys that do it at the pro level, they see the value in it, and then they ask for those things. And then post-practice, an actual cool-down. You know, there are times in practice, and a lot of the media members see that first move the field period. Those are the first throws for the quarterback the entire day. It shouldn't happen like that.
Yeah.
And really, they may go the first, you know, 20 or 30 minutes without throwing a football. And you know, it just, to me, it doesn't make sense when that's your job, really, at the quarterback position. So I'm interested in what the next step is from here. Will there be structures put in place, benchmarks, and then evaluation and reevaluation over time to make sure that, okay, you've got this spike right now of increased consistency, and the coaches have said that, but you want to make sure that stabilizes, stays there, that consistency level either is going up or is staying at this high level. You don't want it to falter back down.
Absolutely. All right, so Brian Kelly, and we'll kind of touch back on that in a minute, but I'll let you hear what Brian Kelly was asked about Brandon Wimbush working with Taylor Kelly and what the discussion was like about how that process was going to happen. And here's what Brian Kelly had to say after yesterday's practice.
You know, Brandon and I had a conversation about what kind of work were we going to do. Were we going to hang out on the beach and throw the frisbee around? Is that the kind of work we want, or is this going to be a focused, intentional workload? And, you know, I know Tom House and what he does. Taylor works for Tom, and I felt like if we were going to do something outside the network, I would prefer it to be in with that group. And he agreed and has, I think, benefited greatly from their work with him.
Brandon find them, or does he come to you and say, I want to work with these other people, or how?
Brandon knew that there were some mechanical issues that he had to solve, so this was kind of an ongoing conversation that we've had, that we actually talked about during the year. I think I probably alluded to a couple of times where we've talked that we'd fix that after the year was over, and some of those mechanical issues. And so it was an ongoing conversation, and then we just agreed that, look, we're going to go in this direction, we're going to work with this group, and there are great groups out there. We decided on this group and feel like it's been positive.
And so again, Brian Kelly, after yesterday's practice, and that was Lakin Lippman from the Indianapolis Star asking the question in there. So, excuse me, Evan, just kind of your thoughts in hearing that, because again, this is different than the guys who usually work with George Whitfield, who's one of the bigger names in quarterback coaching and all that kind of stuff.
Well, first, I mean, Brandon's QB coach from home is Madee Williams, a New Jersey guy. He played at Syracuse, and Brandon's been working with Madee for you know, throughout his high school career and even in middle school too. And he's put out some guys right now that are in the running to start at Rutgers. Anthony Brown at Boston College last year, the starting quarterback there. He's another one of Medee's guys. So I don't know what that conversation was like behind closed doors, because Brandon has worked with, you know, a few different names, myself included, during his redshirt year. The big thing for him was that year was getting more reps. So we talked a little bit about the mechanical side. You know, he was a little bit long on the backside, which was resulting in the tip not coming down, which is why we've been able to talk about this and, you know, why, you know, I thought the ball was sailing at times. But overall, he was pretty consistent. That's why the 50% completion percentage last year surprised me. But Medee's in the mix then, obviously going to George Whitfield for a lot of drill work. And now Tom House's crew, you know, it's I think what Kelly wanted to make sure is there weren't too many cooks in the kitchen. You're not hearing too many different voices. So once they decided on what route they were going to go, you know, now they're all in there, which leads me back to then what are the protocols that are going to be in place? And then, you know, how does that benefit the other quarterbacks? Because, you know, is it something that's going to be solely for Brandon Winbush, or is this a program decision for the entire quarterback room? You know, the protocols and throwing aspects that I mentioned as far as, you know, plyo care and weighted footballs and J-bands, you know, that was something that I approached the program in and saying, you know, here's an aspect that could be very beneficial. So now that they've, you know, they've gone in a direction, you know, with Tom House and 3D QB, is it one of those things that it's a one-time, one-and-done deal, or is it going to be, is it going to be an entire immersion by their guys with these Notre Dame quarterbacks?
At the very least, more of this summer would seem to be in order, right?
I would think so.
Because again, where they are right now, it's more about
I still find it fairly strange that he's the only one going. You know,
it's on his own dime though. So
it is. I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's not like Brian Kelly sent him there. It's Brandon Winbush still has to pay for this and the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, though, it being a program decision, it would be, why aren't there other Notre Dame quarterbacks that are involved, too, if that is the structure that they're going to then provide?
But Brandon Winbush, of the guys who are there right now, Brandon Winbush is the one who had the biggest issues with this.
Well,
stuff, right?
I don't disagree with that, but you know, if what Kelly is saying is this is a program decision to go outside a network, it seems very short-sighted, I suppose.
If you're not incorporating this stuff,
correct,
into what's going on,
yeah,
on a daily basis.
Right. Because
something we've talked about, because if you're just going to do it for like a week or two, yeah, or whatever, and then you come back and it's not an emphasis, then you're just going to resort
well,
to...
Well, what happens, you know, if in 2 or 3 years you have another quarterback that has the same issue, are you going to go somewhere else? And I think that's where I'm going to be intrigued to see is will how does Tommy Rees play into this too? You know, is he going to incorporate things that 3D QB is suggesting to them in practice? Because... You know, as you know, with sports and really with anything, you know, habits aren't built in 1 week.
Right.
You know, you've built those habits up over time, and to break those habits, you've got to get a lot of reps in.
Yep.
And it's got to be highly evaluated reps. This isn't like, okay, go and get 2,000 throws in on your own. Well, What if 1,999 of those are incorrect? So, you know, that's is just making sure that the structure is in place again, so it's building the correct habits. Because, you know, I think going out and working with a guy like Taylor Kelly and through 3D QB, it opens up the door and does provide a good baseline on here are some areas that were an issue. You have that information now, and then it's going to be, what are you going to do to make sure that it doesn't happen again?
Because, again, if you go back to what we started talking about, where they've worked with all these quarterbacks, and it's not just like they've worked with them, but they've collected data,
sure,
from these quarterbacks, like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, as the examples, where they hooked up those,
yeah,
dots and they analyzed their motion. So now they can take the motions of these elite guys and apply it to Brandon Wimbush and say, okay, here's what these, not that they want everyone to look exactly the same, but here's what this looks like. Here's what you look like. We've got to at least get closer to this.
Sure. And I don't know if anyone's brought this up or asked, you know, why isn't someone on Notre Dame staff capable of...
because you go back to the strength and conditioning, or the performance, I guess, with Matt Bayless, and they can look at, okay, you've got a hamstring deficiency,
sure,
so we've got to do more stuff that focuses on that.
So I don't know, you know, I might just be blowing smoke on this, but it's they're qualified, or should be qualified people in the building that have seen Brandon on a day-to-day basis, you know, maybe getting a second opinion or an unbiased, you know, third party, that's part of the discussion. But, you know, these are, we wouldn't be talking about this, I suppose, if it was all handled in-house, no pun intended.
Hey! All right, that'll take us into our break. 12:25, Evan Sharpley. Try the veal, tip your waiters. Jackie Sharpley, his wife, is going to join us next. We're live today at Sharpley Training. With us, you can be a champion. Call today for a complimentary class, 574-226-8234, or visit sharpleytraining.com. And we will hear from Jackie and maybe Lucy a little bit, too, about all the stuff going on here at Sharpley Training. That is coming up next when we continue. Leprechaun Lunch, Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. We're live at Sharpley Training once again, and we're joined, Evan Sharpley, of course. I'm Sean Stiers, and Jackie Sharpley is now with us as well, and Lucy is on Evan's lap, and we had a reversal of fortune right before we went on the air. Lucy got a little on her sleeve there, so I apologize for the laugh. There she is.
The whole
there
family.
There she is. All right. So, hi. Glad to have you with us here today.
Yeah, say hello, Lucy. She's 10 months for people who are listening, so she's not quite talking in sentences yet.
No, and she's sitting on Evan's lap, and she's just staring right at me with those big blue eyes as I
talk to her. She's a mini Evan Sharpley.
All right. Well, you know, Jackie is with us, and you kind of gave me the quick 10-cent tour of the facility this morning. There's a lot of stuff here. As you were kind of telling me, there's one side that's got the turf and the batting cage that goes up and down and all that kind of good stuff. And then there's the other side with the weights and a lot of other stuff. This isn't just Evan, you know, training baseball and football guys. You do a lot of classes here as
right.
well.
Yeah, so I've been a fitness instructor and personal trainer for about 6 years now. So Evan and I, we jumped in and started Sharpley Training together. So we do a lot of strength and conditioning classes that aren't just for athletes. So moms like myself and dads and businessmen are working out alongside some of these athletes. So like you said, we have two sides basically to our facility. We have the lab, which we're in right now, with our batting cage, and we have the turf, so a lot of our turf sports. And then next door we call the pit with our strength and conditioning equipment, where a lot of our classes take place, where we do, you know, the heavy barbell lifting next door. We utilize both sides of the facility, so whether you're a mom or an athlete, you're going to see turf workouts as well as those barbell workouts.
Now it's funny, because when we were talking this morning, you told me that a lot of the guys say that you're the tough one here, huh?
They do, and I think it's because honestly in their athletic career, they probably have never had a female coach before that's working out alongside them, which I think is very unique, is that when they're doing push-ups and they may be doing them halfway, I just get down on the floor and do it with them. So I'm working out and sweating just as much as they are. And even our other coaches who are now collegiate athletes, they always say, you know, it's nice to have a different point of view and perspective, you know, yelling at them and pushing them and
right.
make sure their form is correct.
Now, give us an idea of So you're in here probably what? Classes start maybe around 6 a.m. or
we have
that?
our first class is at 5:30 a.m. 3 days a week, and then we have a 9 a.m. class, an 11 a.m. class, and a 5 p.m. class.
Give us an idea of what those classes consist
of. It's going to vary. So we normally start with some strength work with the barbell. So whether that's a bench press or a squat or a deadlift, and I jump in with those moves as well. I often get a lot of women that say, you know, I don't want to lift a barbell. I don't want to get thick or whatever that may be.
Right.
Well, I actually, you know, slimmed down and, you know, lost that baby weight or however you want to say by getting my squat numbers up and my deadlift numbers and just, you know, deadlifting 200 pounds off the floor. Not only, you know, builds that muscle and that lean physique, you know, I feel like one strong mama being able to lift 200 pounds off the floor. So we normally start with that strength work and then we jump into our Metcon, which is our metabolic conditioning. So that varies whether it's, you know, a rowing workout, heavy cardio, or a lot with our dumbbells. You are utilizing your entire body, getting your heart rate up. So we use a lot of active strength, meaning you're not just standing in front of the mirror and doing curls. You know, you're doing burpees with dumbbells. You're doing rope slams. You're flipping tires. A lot of what I consider to be fun stuff is going to get that heart rate up, but yep. Utilize your entire body. So you're getting the bang for your buck in 60 minutes, and then you're out the door.
All kinds of good stuff.
All kinds, yeah.
And, again, this is Jackie Sharpley,
yeah.
Evan's wife, with us. And so how big are those classes?
They vary. So some of our smaller classes during the school year are our morning classes because those are our moms and our businessmen that are able to take the time to come. And then in the summer, our classes are jam-packed with college kids coming home. So it varies anywhere, you know, from 5 to 15 or more, especially in the summer. But we like that kind of smaller class setting, so we're able to really keep an eye on what you're doing because whatever movement you're doing, form is very important to us because we want to make sure that you can go to work the next day, be a mom the next day, or not be injured for your game if you're an athlete. So we are able to really watch and make sure that you're doing it well. Some people, especially moms, that's why I love talking about being a mom, is they think they're intimidated by our classes.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, I'm a mom too. You know, I have to mom at home. I can't be injured or throwing my back out, but we're going to get a barbell in your hand and make you feel strong, make you feel beautiful lifting heavy weight, but doing it correctly, and you're going to do it with me. So you're not going to be alone. It's not going to be intimidating. You're not going to feel like you're 10 steps behind. We're just going to work out alongside you.
Yeah, and I guess that's the biggest thing that we wanted to emphasize by having you on is, yes, Sharpley Training is for athletes, and there's specific athlete training here, but it's also you work with a pretty wide spectrum.
We say,
not just,
you know,
athletes.
From 7 to 70 years old, we see it all on a daily basis.
Right.
We see all ages, all different fitness levels, whether you're just starting out working out for the first time in your entire life, whether you've taken years off or you've just had a baby, so you've taken some time off there, or you consider yourself a former athlete. Wherever you are in your fitness journey, we will meet you there and we will let you get, you know, catch you up or, you know, whatever you need to feel comfortable. We're kind of your, I always say sometimes, I'm your tour guide to your workout. I'm not going to leave you behind.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Jackie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for coming to my gym. We're here often. So
absolutely.
This is our second home.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Evan Sharpley's going to be back here in just a minute as they trade Lucy duty.
Do the baby handoff, which I'm sure every parent knows how to handle. So thank you for having me and Lucy.
Thanks, Jackie. Again, we're live at Sharpley Training. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more Notre Dame football. We've got also the women's Final Four coming up tonight, men's Final Four this weekend. If we have time, we'll make some baseball predictions as well. It is all coming up. Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is theirs. That's why they encourage you to contribute to an Edward Jones IRA by April 17th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2017 and give your money more time to potentially grow. To learn more, contact your Edward Jones financial advisor, Sean Stevens in South Bend or Bob Borlick in Walkerton. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hunger can be hard to spot in our community. You can't always see it, but that doesn't mean it isn't there. I'm Mary Jo Martinek with the Food Bank of Northern Indiana. There are hardworking families in every community who can't afford to stock their cupboards with the food they need. Families who only eat one meal a day. Together, we can help provide meals so that working families can focus on what's most important, being a healthy family. Find out more at feedindiana.org.
There's a saying that goes, if you think this technician is expensive, try a bad one. When you're trying to decide where to take your car, make sure you ask if they have the training, support, and equipment for your specific make of vehicle.
At Classic Imports, all of our techs receive ongoing, extensive training and support directly from manufacturers like Mercedes, Porsche, Land Rover, Jaguar, and more.
Brandon has been attending these classes for over 15 years, giving him a comprehensive understanding of how your car's entire system is constructed and interrelated.
These advanced courses, along with our state-of-the-art equipment and manufacturer support, allow us to diagnose most problems first time around. We may not be the cheapest shop, but our ability to get to the bottom of your car's issues is usually your cheapest choice. Because at Classic Imports, we'll take care of it.
Once again at Sharply Training in Elkhart, along with former Notre Dame quarterback and baseball player Evan Sharply. I'm Sean Stiers, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharply, a 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. And things got a little hectic there when Dad had to jump in when Mom was on with
Lucy,
us a second ago.
She wanted to play.
I can tell.
It was playtime, so I had to throw her around a little bit.
Yeah, is that how it usually is when Dad comes around?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She loves to play toys. And both Jackie and I, we kind of have different styles of how we hang out and play with Lucy. I would say not necessarily rough. We're a little more adventurous.
Just active. Yeah.
Not that Jackie and Lucy aren't together, but I would say probably I am a little bit more, you know, we got these little teddy bears I'll throw at her, but we have a good time.
All right, good deal. Well, we talked a little Brandon Wimbush and some specifics about him working with former Arizona State quarterback Taylor Kelly and the 3D QB group and all that kind of stuff. And Eric Hansen and I will kind of dip into it a little bit tonight as well on Budweiser's weekday sports beat. But someone that I wanted to ask you about, and I don't think we've talked a ton about him on our show so far, is Cole Kmet, who, like you, is doing a little bit of double duty. His name's come up quite a bit this spring. He's a tight end for the football team, of course, and he's also a pitcher for the Notre Dame baseball team, and that came up recently. And here's what Brian Kelly had to say about Cole Kmet juggling his baseball schedule.
Yeah, I think, you know, Cole is committed to football as number one and baseball as number two. And whatever he can do to help that baseball team and whatever he can do in terms of his schedule, he's going to make it work. You know, if there's a chance to win a championship it's going to help our baseball team and we've got one spring practice, I'm probably going to do whatever I can to help our baseball team win a championship. But, you know, if they're playing a doubleheader and we've got a spring game, you know, he's going to probably miss one of those games. And Mick and I have done a pretty good job. You know, he'll slate him for the second game, you know, in a doubleheader. Or, you know, he might slide him into a extra duty work on a Sunday. So we've been able to work out a pretty good schedule with him, and we'll continue to communicate as that moves forward.
So far this spring, Cole Kmet has a 2.70 ERA with 4 saves and 11 appearances for the baseball team. And he's a lefty, 19 strikeouts, 10 walks in 23 and a third innings. He earned his fourth save, getting the final two outs in Wednesday's win over Kent State. So we've kind of talked a little bit about this in the past, Evan, since you played both sports at Notre Dame. What's maybe the toughest part about playing two sports at the Division I level?
Having two coaches that will be on board with you.
Fully on the same page.
That's the hardest thing. And then also, too, is having coaches that can relay and communicate with the rest of the team that there are going to be times when you're not there. You know, the players, you know, I don't think that they would straight out say they are upset that you're missing certain things, but there is that perception if you aren't there.
Like you're getting some kind of exception.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, the hardest thing is balancing those, you know, practices to making sure that your on-field performance is the most important thing. And I know Kelly said that football is number one, baseball is number two. But, it, you know, I would have – and it sounds like, you know, both Kelly and Aoki are doing a nice job of making sure that the schedule is going well. But for – you know, for a guy like Cole Kmet, baseball could end up being number one for him professionally. I mean, he's already looking pretty darn good. He's got some special skills from the left side as a pitcher. But he's also a very talented tight end. Really loved his skill set there as well. But, you know, I think, you know, in the spring, what would be great for a guy like him, and maybe not here in year one, and he has played quite a bit on the baseball field, probably more than I even expected so far. But, you know, as he continues to get older, you know, sophomore, junior year, especially junior year, if he's going to be a draft-eligible guy for baseball, is in the spring, baseball is number one. Football is number two.
Yeah.
And then in the summer and in the fall, football is number one. Baseball is number two. You know, if there is a spring game and he's, you know, there's a doubleheader, he's playing baseball. It's the spring.
I remember Jeff Samardzija one year, and I can't remember if you probably
– I was there, yeah.
Where he played in the blue-gold game and then sprinted across the parking lot.
I did the same.
And ended up, pitching in the game later that day.
I didn't play. He did. And I believe there was one weekend, too. He was a Friday night guy, so he might have not pitched that Saturday. I know he went back over there. But there were times during spring practice, even my freshman year, I recall, where I got done with the spring practice and come over in the sixth inning and got dressed. And Paul Maneri got me in at bat in, like, the seventh inning. It was, you know, I hadn't gone through any warm-ups. I think I maybe tried to get a couple of swings.
He's
you know,
so
on the
busy. I'm going to give him the lineup now.
So I get in after practice and actually hit. So that those were – it was unique. And probably not until my junior year did we really come up with a good schedule. And by then, Maneri was gone. Yeah. And Ty Willingham, who recruited me and was a big fan of dual sport athletes,
gone.
Was long gone. So it took a couple of years for Dave Schrag and Charlie Weiss to really come up with a schedule that was going to best allow guys like myself, Eric Most, Golden Tate.
Most, yeah.
Have success
about Most.
On the baseball field is really what it was. Because there were, I mean, during the fall, we were not doing anything with baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I would go and hit sometimes, but that was about it.
Well, and you talk about at that point when you were there, the football team was practicing in the afternoons most of the time during the spring. Now they're practicing in the morning. I would imagine that has to make it a lot easier to accommodate both things.
Yeah, well, in early...
You're going to be tired, but at the same time...
The early winter and then in the spring, right before spring practice, a sample schedule for me would be an early morning mat drill is what we would call it. It was conditioning. You know, we were supposed to start at 6, but if you weren't on the field at 5:30, you were late for football.
Uh-huh.
Go to class, starting usually at 8, be done by 1 or 2, baseball practice then in the afternoon, and then I would usually throw 7-on-7 in my baseball uniform. What do I say no to? What am I allowed to say no to?
Right.
The conditioning part was the hardest because, you know, if you're running at baseball, what are you going to do? Say, hey, coach, I already sprinted. I already did those sprints this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were supposed to not let me run, but it was, hey, Sharp, you know, the other guys, you know, they got to see you do this too. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is like a 1 or 2 day thing. I'm like, I go, listen, if they want to wake up at 5 and come in, they can cheer me on if they want to. You know, if they want to watch me run then, that's fine.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm glad to hear that conversation between Kelly and Aoki is one of constant communication on, you know, where does he fit in the rotation this weekend? You know, is he going to be a short relief guy? Is he going to be in a closing role? Can we slide him to the second game so he can still practice? I think managing that And communication between the two coaches is really important.
Well, I would think, is it a little bit easier? You're a position player. Do you think it's a little bit easier to figure that out for a pitcher?
And that's why, I mean, Eric was kind of double duty for Eric Moss. He was a punter.
Right.
And he was a pitcher.
Talk about part-time.
Yeah. So he was a specialist on the football field. You know, he probably, there might have been times he would have got done with whatever he was doing at the Goog and gone over and thrown. I don't know. I mean, that certainly could have happened.
He was a little bit nuts, too. So.
Well, yeah. And then same with Jeff, and for Jeff, you know, when the new staff came in, he had already established himself to a certain extent on the baseball field. You know, for a guy like me, I was trying to, you know, solidify a position in both sports. And I think that's where some of the pressure came in. For Cole, you know, he was given an opportunity early in this season and capitalized on it. So he's really gotten his foot in the door as far as baseball goes. And you know, the football side, be interested to see, you know, how that goes for him this fall, if he's going to be part of that rotation or if it's, you know, it's another spring away before he's really going to be in the mix there.
All right. So I tell you what, we're going to take another timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up. We got a few things to get to, though, including that report from Tuscaloosa earlier this week that maybe Notre Dame and Alabama could be playing a home-and-home in the near future. We will talk about that when we continue live at Sharpley Training in Elkhart. It's the Leprechaun Lunch with Evan Sharpley and Sean Stiers on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
Can run the table from then on out. You're a one-loss Notre Dame team where your one loss is to Alabama. So, I think, you know, having a team like Alabama on the schedule certainly bolsters and strengthens, you know, what you could potentially have. But if it's a loss, you know, you certainly then are on eggshells the rest of the year, making sure that you're winning out. I would wonder then what would happen with the rest of the schedule. I mean, you're still going to have USC. You're still going to have Stanford on the schedule. You're going to have a mix of, you know, potentially Michigan or Michigan State on there, too, not to mention the ACC team. So, you know, if you schedule early on in the year, yeah, okay, I get it. But you know, it's you run the risk of that.
That's
saying,
what
right,
that's I worry about
two.
Overscheduling. Yeah, that's, I worry about overscheduling.
All right, lost two, and that's it. That's
but I guess it also depends on who else. But I mean, you know, you're going to have USC and Stanford to start with,
right.
Every year, and
right.
Then whoever else you're going to work in there. So that would be. And I know they've got to compensate for the fact that they don't play a conference championship game and all that. But just overscheduling is the biggest thing.
Some big names on the schedule coming up.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so again, we were talking about, I think we might have dropped out there for a second with our wireless signal over here at Sharpley Training, but we were talking about the possibility of Notre Dame and Alabama hooking up a home-and-home in the near, not near future, but in the future anyway, on down the road. All right, Notre Dame women facing UConn in the national semifinals, the Final Four tonight in Columbus, Ohio. It's the eighth Final Four, first in 3 years for Muffet McGraw and her team. Congratulations to her. She was also named AP Coach, National Coach of the Year. She didn't get ACC Coach of the Year, but she's got like three National Coach of the Year honors.
Job.
From your perspective, when you look at it, you've got four number one seeds there in the Final Four for the women. Do you think it hurts interest when you've got all the number one seeds just chalking their way through?
I would just say, I mean, you know, from a March Madness standpoint, it's not as fun. And then you have the juggernaut that is UConn.
Yeah. Don't you think UConn, kind of along the lines of like Duke on the men's side and North Carolina, even Kansas, whatever, like it helped, like people are going to tune in to root against UConn, either for or against them?
Possibly, but I think most people assume that they're probably going to take care of business.
Well, they didn't last year. They got beat by Mississippi State.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. And that was, I mean, that was a huge surprise. I don't think, you know, many people saw that coming. But just the dominance that they've shown over the past decade plus is unbelievable. So you know, I don't know if a number one. I mean, it's what four? Is it three out of the last 4 years? They've had all four number ones. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yeah,
it was something along those lines. So It's not uncommon. I think a lot of times it's almost expected. There isn't, you know, I think from the very top there's a bigger drop off between the very best four or five teams, and then when you get outside of the top five to top ten.
Well, and I kind of look at the fact as well that even though this particular year you've got all the number one seeds in there, over the last, like, UConn has always been there. Before that, Tennessee was there too.
Sure.
But Notre Dame has emerged in the last 10 years as a consistent power.
Yeah,
and you've got some of these other teams. Mississippi State has come around. South Carolina, Texas A&M, Baylor. So the number, even though you've got all number one seeds, who the number one seeds are have changed at least,
right,
because you've got other programs that have kind of come up in the last few years. Men's Final Four, of course, this weekend, tomorrow as well, and the Cinderella story. Who you got winning the whole thing?
I got Michigan.
Got Michigan? Yeah. Of course, you're a Michigan guy.
I picked them right out of the Big Ten tournament. I thought they were hot. We'll see if they can take care of Loyola. I don't know.
Only Michigan fans pulling for Michigan tomorrow. We'll talk more about the Final Four, of course, tonight on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat as well. For Evan Sharpley, I'm Sean Steyers, Vince D'Addario, Bob Henning here, WSBT South Bend.